Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love that I love the fact that he's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. You know, I love revelation. Sometimes the Lord would teach me things. You know how every prophet would say, the word of the Lord came to me saying, I love it when that happens. I love when the Lord comes to me talking and telling me something. And I retain it. And if it's something short, I write it down. And I like to write it exactly like he spoke it to me. Some teachings he trained me in how to write it in my heart. And some things he let me put on paper, and some things in the early days, he would have me to write it in my heart. And I can still get to it. I can still remember it. And but some words, when you give it to me, I write it down. There's three words recently that I've been dealing with. One was about balance. Another one was, I asked the Lord, how could a man be so evil? And then he said, everybody that, let's see, that was the one I wrote in March 21st. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. And I didn't give it a title, but when he gave it to me, he showed me that they share an unconditional enmity with God. But what I was kind of surprised to know is that when people do that, their heart is sick. In the way he wrote it, he said they share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it is there. He said only people who believe God love God. Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God. And that's a fact. He said all who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not. Now, that's the part that really stuck out to me. They will not enter into the glories of the Lord, nor can they value it. So that explains a lot. And the Lord was giving me revelation about the glories back in March. And I used to wonder why people would see something good in others and not partake of it themselves. That was my question. And why didn't people follow through with the things of God? And people get healed and everything, and they don't even try to learn how they can be a blessing and be healed, but they get healed, and they bring their family members to the church to get healed. But and not trained, you know, sometimes it's necessary for us to go out and lay hands on people that don't know our pastors, that won't come to church. So it's time, you know, why don't people enter into greater glories? You know, pastor anointed the whole church. He said, everybody come up out, lay hands on you. You lay hands on others. And then, you know, he spoke for people. He said, some people will say, well, what if they don't get healed? He said, well, what if you do? What if they do? And that's you don't have to give God a back door. And you don't have to take it easy on the Lord either. If somebody will believe him, he can work. Me and my wife was watching A.A. Abrams, and people had great big old miracles. One couldn't walk. One, they had missing parts, and God restored the lady's muscles. She had cancer in her arm and couldn't raise her hand, and the Lord restored it what she could. One lady had cancer in a wheelchair. She got up and ran. And I told my wife, I said, the Lord can do that because it's not just the anointing. That's a great part of it, but he measured God's word big enough to do that. And we need to do the same thing. God is unlimited. Why shouldn't we be unlimited? And whatever we lack knowledge of, he can compensate us. So always do what needs to be done. You don't have to worry about whether God's going to do his part. If he prompts you to do it, he'll be there and he'll do his part. Now, so in this word, I learned a lot of things, and I love to write things exactly like he speaks it. He gave me another one about, and I've been reading them, so I'm going to skip that part for now, and I'll read it if the Holy Spirit brings me back to it. Now, today's broadcast, I want to go back and talk about the will, because he put some more things about the will on my heart. Now, I'm going to read what he gave me about the will. He said, because I asked, I said, Lord, if I'm going to talk about the will, I need something to go. I had so many thoughts. These are the thoughts I had, but I need them to be condensed. So that's what he did for me. When I asked him about what, facts about the will, years ago, he told me that the will is formed in the heart. And the day I wrote this, he said that the will is the sum of your faith and doubt. It forms after your choices. The will can be chosen and developed, encouraged and discouraged. Purpose is in the living will, while destruction is in the worldly will, saith the Lord. Now, the will can be chosen. That's why it's so important for parents to train their children. In order for curious children to choose what is true, sometimes you can't just tell them to do right and expect them to. You have to explain things. Now, my mother had 7 brothers that she grew up with, and I think it was 3 older brothers. Her dad was married before, but his wife died. And so when he married my grandmother, he was taking care of his mother-in-law, and she helped with the children too. So in those days, there was no Social Security. So if any able-bodied man would take care of everybody. If there was a woman and she had parents that couldn't work, he'd just take care of the whole family. So that's how it went. Anyway, so he had grown brothers that worked, but they lived on their own, you know. But there were 7 brothers in the house. So she understood what I was going to do. Well, before I go any further, I want to make a correction. My mother had 5 brothers that grew up in the house with her, and she had 3 older brothers, and one of them got killed. But it was 7 of them because my mother and her sister. So I had to recalculate that. But anyway, she had, she understood her knowledge of how men would act was useful in raising me and also being married to my father. She knew how men thought, so she would stayed a step ahead of us, just like the Holy Spirit would do. Now, she taught me things, and she said, when you go to the store, never steal. She said, the people that own the store, that's their only way of making money. And if you steal from them, you're taking money from their house. And I never wanted to be that guy, so I was motivated not to sneak things. And I had friends, they would try it. I would tell them, no, don't do that. A lot of the guys, my friends, they didn't want to get a beating, so they acted right. Yeah, for the most part, anyway. But she would explain things, you know. And that's kind of how I became a mechanic, too. I wanted to ride those go-karts and minibikes and things like that. So in the summertime, one time I was older, I was in high school between the 9th and 10th grade. And I had this motorcycle. I wanted to ride. I couldn't ride. So it had gotten broken. So I asked Mama, could she take it and put it in the shop? She said, no. She said, sit down, son. This summertime, and your dad's the only one working right now. So we can't go and put your motorcycle in the shop. You're going to have to wait till the wintertime When I go back to school, then we can get it fixed. And I understood that. That was, you'd be surprised what children can understand. And I said, well, I went back about 30-40 minutes later. I said, look, Mama, you mind if I get me the parts and I fix it? She said, sure. So I took that thing apart, found the broken piece. She took me to the motorcycle shop, and I took the broken part. They said, you need a kick pinion. And I think it costed $8.11. And she bought it for me. And I mean, I had to take the motor out, take the halves of it off. I had to break it all the way down. And I got some old blankets and put them out. Then I put plastic on top of the blankets and bricks to hold it down. And I took that thing apart, made the biggest mess. I had to drain all the oil out. But I had a clean place to work in the backyard. And I took it apart that morning. My friend said, oh, it'll never run again. At 4 o'clock that evening, I'm riding around on it. And I didn't even know how the motor worked. But I did it because I was motivated, and God gave me a gift to be a mechanic. You know, it's a gift. One guy said mechanics aren't just taught, they're born. People are born with that. And that's how it is. It's a gift. Now, I said all that to say this. When you explain things to people, it helps. So, now the word of God is taught by many people, and people respond variedly. And sometimes people receive the revelation of the word, and I've watched how people do things. People that get the revelation of the word, they begin to know God. They know Him personally. They have a relationship. They have the revelation. And I like to use something, the revelation of the tithe. Some people tithe because they're supposed to. Some people tithe for social reasons. But the people that come, they go around, can't wait to tithe, they have the revelation of it. And some people tithe because they respect their pastor and they love him. And they don't want him to know that they don't tithe. But that don't mean they have the revelation of it. But they can get the revelation if they just read it, if they gain an understanding of it. Sometimes it's presented, the way it's presented is people don't get the revelation of the tithe. Now the Levites received tithes of the children of Israel because they didn't get any land. It's an everlasting covenant. It's a law to them. It's an everlasting agreement that should never be broken. Now remember, I said in yesterday's broadcast, wicked people don't keep covenant. Now, when it comes to, see, they're receiving, they got their land. Every tribe got their land, all right? The land is producing. There's nothing wrong with the land. It's producing for them. Now, they're obligated. Their offerings going when they go to present that. Every person is supposed to give 10% of whatever they earn to the Levite priest. Because they don't have land. They have to rent wherever they are. Now, they can buy land, but see, after so many years, it goes back to the owner. They can't own land like the other tribes. They have to receive. And if you're not going to keep covenant, then you're throwing things out of order. That's why the Lord said, will a man rob God? You're robbing God. If you got your land. They don't have their land. And you're not pulling your weight. And that's not right. Now, when it comes to the church, we tithe after the order of Abraham. He paid tithes to, it's just plain as day. Now, if you get the revelation of it, your tithes is worship. Melchizedek, that was no law. Abraham didn't have to give Melchizedek anything. But he gave the king of peace 10% of all that he took. All the spoils of war. Now, that's how we do it. And it's something that God can bless us by. So when you take time, and if you get the revelation of a thing with explanation, now you can do things on a greater way. You can cooperate. But without the revelation, eventually, when things don't look good and you don't have the revelation in the first place, the enemy's going to say, you know, that really don't work. A lot of people feel like their tithing is not beneficial. Now, this is not a message about tithing, but the enemy play with people's mind when they don't have the revelation of things. Now, let's shift gears. Tithing works. And people who have the revelation, and people who do it with a good and honest heart, they may not have the full revelation. They benefit from being obedient. But if they do it because they think it's a law, it's really not. They need to know it's not a law. Pastor Jackson said it's a seed you sow, not a seed you owe. He used to tell them that. It's a seed you sow, not a seed you owe. So now God, if it's worship, it's got to come from the heart and it's got to be pure. And churches need the money. They can't just go, you know, people who God called to set aside to run churches, they need the people to support. And guess what happened to people who support it? Eventually they die. So we need, everybody's needed. For an engine to run smooth, it has to fire on all cylinders. Just how it is. Now, so back to the wheel. The will is the sum of your faith and doubt. So your will, what if you believed everything God said? What if you could everything that he told you would benefit you and you believed it? And everything you prayed, you had faith and no doubt. What would happen to your will after making biblical choices? Your will would get stronger and stronger, and you will get to the point that you know who the Lord is and why you do what you do. Obedient people are blessed. Some people are obedient. They really don't know the Lord, but they love Him, and they want to do something good, and they try to do something. Their intentions are pure, but they don't really know the Lord yet, just like Samuel. He didn't know the Lord yet, and the Lord told him what to do, and with the help of Eli, he did it. Now, God can work with that. I've seen that. I've been there before. And good things happen when you're in the bubble of obedience. But then you can choose the good part, like Mary. Or you can do a lot of works like Martha. But if you choose the good part, you'll come to understand. And once you get to know the Lord, he'll be formed in you. And then you'll do things by revelation. And when the devil comes along, you won't buy what he's trying to sell. See, when people understand the word of God, God always keeps his word. He never not keeps his word. Everything he says is good and it makes sense. But the things of darkness don't work. And when people don't have a revelation of things, and then things don't go out like they thought it would, then the enemy, he got wiggle room to say, well, it don't work. Or that's just mumbo jumbo. Well, some people take that position. And I know people who used to tithe, and then they used to tithe, but then they just quit. But they don't go and say, well, it don't work. And I've heard people say that they feel like it don't work. It does work. But, and that's a tragedy, because when you have the full, when you get the revelation of what God is saying, it's beautiful. When I learned things from the Lord, I know what David experienced. He said, he talked about the secret place. When I asked the Lord to teach me to love his people, I lived in a joy and peace. It was like it was a secret place. Now, I I didn't want it to be a secret. I wanted everybody to get in on it. Every time God give me something that works, I want others to get in on it. Revelation comes through our situations sometimes. God's love towards us in our situations, it causes us to learn unique things that you may not ever hear anywhere else. So if I learn great good things from God and it blesses my life, all right, I'm going to live so long and then I'm going to heaven. All right. What if I share what God gave me before I go? That's my strategy. The Lord even showed me a vision saying, let not my people lack knowledge. Now, some people take things the wrong way. If you tell them what God showed you, if it's over the top good and they can tell that it works, some people, they seem to get jealous against you. Some seem, you know, people take it all kind of ways, you know. But the thing is this, whatever you learn, it can be a blessing to people. When you tell the right people, they receive it, and they receive the revelation and build their lives. And I've gotten many good reports from people. I told them what the Lord shared with me. I shared it, and then they did it, and it worked. And some people never call you back and tell you, well, that worked. It's just like you said. Some people discount it. So the way people handle the word of God is the way their life is going to be. See, he said, your will is the sum of your faith and doubt. Your will is going to form some kind of way anyway, no matter what. But you have something to say about it. If you stay in faith, if you take God at his word and receive the revelation of it, which is the spirit of the word, then you can do something. It's a sum of your faith and doubt. So if you get rid of faith, if you get rid of doubt against God and only have faith in the Lord, your will is going to be pure. See, sincerity helps form the perfect will. Dedication, sincerity, discipleship, willing to be a student, humble people. And the Lord explained what humble was. Humble is not a person that acts mousy. It's more like a private that may be stronger than his sergeant and sometimes smarter, but he obeys his sergeant. So when he go to the battlefield, he's much less likely to get killed because he listened when he should have been. He humbled himself and did everything that his sergeant said. And you, to God, we are willingly humble. We trust him to the point that we act on what he say. We trust him and we obey him. And then we learn in that order. He said, the will, it forms after your choices. The will forms after your choices. The will can be chosen, developed, encouraged, and discouraged. And purpose is in the living will, while destruction is in the worldly will, saith the Lord. Now, I think about children that hear the word of God. Today I want to focus on how do people hear. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. The way you measure it, it'll be measured to you. If you measure it big, you'll have a greater measure. But let's give another example of this. How do people hear the word? Deuteronomy 28:13, it says that, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and shall not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. All right. So Moses is giving, he's showing them the way things should be. And people love this part. I be the head and not the tail. Now I want to show you something. Don't listen to the world with Satan's ears. What do you mean, preacher? Don't listen to the word of God with Satan's ears. Some people hear this. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. And the way that they take it is, I'm going to be better than others. Now take Satan's earbuds out, because that's not going to work. Now watch the rest of it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to start over. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them as your only way of life. Now, I added that part, as your only way of life, because that's precisely what he meant. Now let's look at they receive people who actually do this, and the Lord can make them the head and not the tail. They're going to be like God. They're going to live in the likeness and the sincerity of the Father. They're going to do what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. Their pure in heart, they'll see God. Because they're pure in heart and they see God, they'll understand things better. What's going to happen to their speech? They're going to speak the word. What's going to happen to the way they make choices? They're going to make godly choices. What's going to happen to their actions? They're going to make godly actions. Because they know God. They see him. Because they're pure in their heart. Now, they're going to become trainable, which means that they're going to be anointable, which means God is going to build. They're going to be foundational, and he can build on their life. Now, they have the revelation of a servant, and they live to serve others. And see, when you have the revelation of God, you're a living servant to others. See, in the kingdom of God, those that are the greatest servants are the greatest. And they live with purpose. They have a holy purpose. And they heard the word with Jesus' ears. They didn't have Satan's earbuds in. Let's look at the beginning of this and get the spirit of the word. What did the Holy Spirit mean? Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, here it is again, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. You know, Brother Horton pointed something out in our Fresh Start Sunday School. He said, whenever people talk about going to Jerusalem, they go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in the middle of the world. If you put all the land together, Israel's in the middle of it all. All right? And the reason they go up to Jerusalem, because it's a city set on a hill, high above all the nations of the earth. Now, the Lord always wanted them, his people, to be a representative of who he is. He was going to cause them to be living servants and seek to be a blessing to everybody. But all the Jews who had Satan's earbuds in, they heard something totally different. When they read it, when this was spoken, this is what they heard. Now Moses said, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God, now watch this, will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, because you are better than they are, and they need to worship you. That's what Satan's folks heard. They heard it wrong. They didn't hear the part about hearkening diligent to the voice of the Lord their God, to observe, to do all his commandments, full of strategy, full of wisdom, full of holiness, full of love. You know, I asked the Lord about, Jesus said, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And I said, Lord, what's the difference between the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod? He said, the Pharisees love praise, and Herod loves power And Satan loves both. That's exactly how the Lord answered me. So let's look at Isaiah. We'll come back to Deuteronomy. And see, this is when you hear the word, if people hear it with revelation, then you'll get the God can back up everything you do because you're in faith. Now, Isaiah 14:12, we said we've been here so many times, but let's look at it again. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? He's asking Lucifer, how did this happen? How are you fallen from heaven? See, the wicked always assess themselves to be good and better, and even God approved. All right, let's go, keep going. Verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. From that point, you know, I added that part. I will be like the Most High. All right. You see how rude he is? Let's say you're in line at the airport, and there's a long line, and somebody just come and run past everybody and break the line, and they get in the front. That's what he is. So the revelation of what Satan is this. He's the rude man that breaks the line and jumps ahead of others.